have. Thank you, Douglas. Kids, you are dismissed to your classes. We're glad that you're here. I'd kind of like to see Douglas do go skydiving, wouldn't you? That'd be cool. Yeah. Anyone been skydiving? Yeah. No skydivers out there? You're not going to see me. As much hope as I have in those parachutes, not me. We're glad that you're here. If you need prayers, if you want to talk to one of our elders, we'll have a couple of our elders and their wives out in the hallway here, and they're there for you for prayer, encouragement, advice, counsel, whatever you need spiritually. They want to be there for you as your shepherds. Next week, Daisy's Little Red Wagon. Kids, I hope they heard that. Get your coins. Always a great service. I love to hear the clanging of the coins on the wagons. And more than that, just to know that our kids are participating in this grace offering, helping people, getting the word out, letting people know about Jesus Christ, giving people hope, means so much. We're excited about the season that we are in. We're continuing a sermon series, The Practice of Self-Denial. The Practice of Self-Denial. Taking up your cross to find life. I don't know what your gut reaction is to that when I say those words, or Jesus said these words. I'm just repeating the words of Jesus. Self-denial, taking up your cross daily and following Jesus. Most people think, yeah, this is what I thought Christianity was all about, right? If this is the first sermon you've ever heard, you're thinking, yep, that's what the preacher's going to tell me. I can't have any fun. Life is just going to be sucked out of me. My life is over if I give my life to Christ. A lot of times that's what we think, that God is this cosmic killjoy. Anytime he sees us enjoying life, he's just going to put an end to it. I mean, that's his job, is to make us miserable. Throughout this series, I'm going to push back on that. I think we've been reading this wrong. I think if that's our understanding of Jesus' words, if that's our understanding of anything that Jesus says, is that he's trying to suck life out of us rather than inject us with life, then we have misunderstood, misheard what Jesus is saying. So in this series on self-denial, I know it's not something that we normally get excited about. I hesitated. I think, do I really want to preach on this? Is this really going to draw people into church? But it's what Jesus calls us to. These are the words of Jesus. And I want us to hear that when Jesus says these words, he's not saying, I want to take life away from you. I want to give you more life. It's not less life. It is more life. This is one of the themes of Jesus' teaching. If we really want to have life, then it comes with this cost, this sacrifice, this living a life of self-denial. Our three theme scriptures from Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. But I'll have you know that all of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all have a statement that is very similar to this, in some ways almost verbatim to this. And in other places, Jesus teaches the same concept, that life comes when we're willing to give our life away. That's where life really comes from. So Jesus says this. These are the words of Jesus, the life giver, all right? The person who is going to fulfill the promise of giving you life. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Jesus is saying the person who lets go of life is going to actually find life. And so I want us to think about that. What is Jesus teaching us? What secret of life is Jesus trying to reveal to us in this saying? Let's pray and let's just set our minds right as we explore this saying of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we trust in you, and Father, sometimes our trust is challenged, especially when we hear things like this, that real life comes from giving up our life, that taking up our cross is where we really find life. And so, Father, help us as we go into this, just really believe that Jesus is trying to give us the life that we really want, not take it away. And so, Father, help us to humbly receive these words. Help us to truly believe in Jesus' great love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so as I was thinking about this series, the Olympics were going on, the Winter Olympics, and I watched some of that. I used to watch it religiously as a kid. I loved watching the Olympics. I mean, I was there just about every moment I could watch. Don't watch it quite as much, but I enjoy it. It's interesting. You know, you find yourself watching things that you'd never watched before. You know, curling. Have you ever watched curling before? But you get so excited those people are trying to win the gold medal. It's exciting to see this competition, this global competition. But it's not just the events that grab my attention. It's the backstories as well. You know, when they cut away from the event, they'll tell the story about this person. They've been training all their life. They lose sleep. They get up at the crack of dawn. They have given up their social life. They practice 9 hours a week, and then they study another 9 hours. And just all the work that has gone in to getting them to this place. And you think, wow, these people have really made these sacrifices. And you wonder, why did they do that? Well, they did it to get to this goal, to get to this point in their life. So they gave up sleep. They gave up certain foods. They gave up a lifestyle to achieve a goal, to achieve a purpose. And they understood what Jesus was saying. They understood that principle that many times in life, perhaps every time in life, if we really want to achieve something, that means we have to say no to something else. Last week, we established three ground rules as we entered into this discussion on denying yourself. First of all, we recognize that self-denial is a command. The language used here is imperative language. Jesus says this is not an option. This is not just for the religious elite. This is for everyone who wants to be my disciple, everyone who calls themselves a Christian, everyone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus. Part of that is I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to take up my cross daily. So this is not an option. If you want the life that Jesus is promising to give you, then that is one of the things that you have to subscribe to. So it's a command. It's command language that Jesus uses. But then he also says that this is the pathway to life. And we have to understand that Jesus, again, he's not trying to take life away from us. He's trying to give us more life. So self-denial is unlocking the true life that we all desire, the life that Jesus wants to give us. And we have to kind of reorient our minds. We have to think of things differently because the world is making promises to give us life that is not really life. And so we are so consumed with pursuing this life that is put before us that the world offers, where Jesus is saying, that's not really life at all. Life is being my disciple and following me. So we really have to believe this. Jesus has our best intention at heart. He wants to give us life. The third ground rule was that Jesus modeled it himself. Jesus brought life by giving up his life. We celebrate that on Easter Sunday. Good Friday, Easter Sunday, we recognize that life has come into this world, eternal life has come into this world by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All right, I want to kind of lean into that second principle today. Self-denial is the pathway to life. And I want us to take you to a scene in Luke chapter 4. It's the temptations of Jesus. Before we get to the temptations, we want to look at each one. There are three temptations where Jesus and the devil, Jesus and Satan, they have a man-on-man battle here as he enters into his ministry. But I want us to understand the context. Jesus has fasted for 40 days. Right? He's preparing for his ministry. Up to this point, Jesus really hasn't been public about who he is. But now he's at that stage where he's going to let people know who he is, why he has come. He's going to start teaching, and then eventually, of course, this is going to lead up to his crucifixion coming up on what we call Good Friday. But notice how Luke sets this up in Luke chapter 4. There it is, 1 and 2. All right, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. This is important, being full of the Holy Spirit, and that's a promise that we have that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So there's a purpose, there's a function of this fasting. There's a reason why Jesus is going through this, and there's a reason why he's going to experience these temptations. It's purposeful, what we read about in Luke chapter 4. So he was led by the Spirit, and that's pretty scary, isn't it? The Spirit will lead us into the wilderness. Well, why? Why does he do that? We'll talk about that a little bit in the first temptation. Was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and good things are going to happen. All right, good things are going to happen. where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, you think? He was hungry, right? He was very hungry, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. This is not incidental. He's living this life of self-denial. He's modeling it, but life is going to come. Purpose is going to come out of this trying time that he experiences. And we need to pray for that. We need to pray that during these times of self-denial that God is going to do something really wonderful. God is really going to do something really powerful in that. He will be with you. All right, now look at what comes after the temptation. So we're kind of skipping the temptations. We looked at before, he was full of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have the temptations. But then in verse 14, Luke says, Jesus returned to Galilee. That's the northern part where he's going to do most of his ministry. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. So he goes through these temptations, all right, full of the Holy Spirit. But then he comes out of that in the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, so this time of self-denial doesn't make Jesus weaker in the Spirit. It makes him even stronger in the Spirit, even more determined, resolved to do the will of God, more prepared to live the life that he was chosen to live. All right, let's walk through each one of these temptations. And each one of these temptations carry with it a promise if we are willing to live this life of self-denial. All right, temptation number one is in Luke chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. All right, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." As was noted, Luke notes that Jesus was hungry. We know that Jesus could have done this. This would have been a miracle. Jesus is going to do even more impressive things than turn stones into bread. But Jesus refuses at this point to let his hunger be in charge. He is not going to let his hunger be the driving force of why he does what he does. And he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. In fact, each one of these temptations are met by Jesus with a quote from the Old Testament. He knew his scripture, right? He knew the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, I want us to look at the context, because normally it's not unlikely that when Jesus mentions a small part of something of the Old Testament, he expects other people to recognize the context. Like if I say 67 years ago, you just don't do that calculation. Is that 87 years ago? When I say that, it brings back that Gettysburg Address. So when Jesus says man does not live by bread alone, he's expecting that you're going to fill in the blanks, that you're going to understand the context of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so let me bring you back there to Deuteronomy 8, verses 3 through 5. This is during the wilderness wanderings. For 40 years, there's certainly a connection here, 40 years in the wilderness, 40 days in the wilderness. For 40 years, the people of Israel, after being liberated from Egyptian slavery captivity, 40 years before they go into the promised land. And so during that time, God speaking to them through the prophet Moses, he says, "He humbled you. God humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." There's something even more fulfilling than meeting that immediate need for hunger. It's the word of God. "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." It seems as if in Deuteronomy 8, that God actually caused them to be hungry. He created this lean season in their life for a purpose, to reach out to God and to lean on Him. Now, I don't know about you, but the times that I have leaned on God most heavily is during those times when I was going through a wilderness period, where there's some type of hunger, where I wasn't getting what I thought that I needed, where I was deprived of something. And isn't it true in our lives that during those times we seek God and we find something that's even more fulfilling than that thing that's been taken away from us? And I'm not saying that God always takes things away from us, but we experience that in life, right? Some of you I know are in seasons, you're in the wilderness, you're hungry, maybe not for bread, but you're hungry for something. You're hungry for a relationship, you're hungry for food, you're hungry for significance, you're hungry for purpose, and you're not getting it. But during those times, I want to see in your life that God can use those times when He's taken that away from you, or whatever circumstances led to that being taken away from you, that God can use that time for you to find something that is even more important than the thing that you're grieving. And you can find life in the Word of God. You can find His presence. I know it's been so true in my life that I have found God's comfort and strength and presence in my life when I've experienced these times of needing, these times of desperation. Sometimes He creates those seasons. Sometimes those seasons happen because we live in a fallen world. But I think Jesus, when He says deny yourself, He says sometimes we need to create those seasons in our lives. Will we make ourselves hungry so that we realize that God can give us something that we thought the bread could give us? We're not going to be controlled by those desires. We're going to find something that fills us up even more completely, that satisfies us even more. That's one reason why Christians fast. As I mentioned last week, we're in the season of Lent right now, and it's not a practice that we observe here at Park Avenue. Some of you may, but during Lent, one of the ways that people observe Lent is they say, I am not going to eat this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to deny myself this. And we do that not just, it's not earning our way to heaven, but it's saying, I'm going to prove to myself that there's something greater than X, whatever I'm giving up. And so Jesus is saying sometimes we need to create those seasons in our lives when we say to ourselves, I am not a slave to my cravings. I'm not going to let my hunger, my desires, or as Paul would say, I'm not going to let the flesh determine what I'm going to do. I'm not going to seek immediate satisfaction for every hunger that I have because I know that that doesn't create life. Jesus is saying if we live that in that fashion, if we live in a way where every time I have a craving, every time I have a desire, I'm going to have it fulfilled. And isn't that what the world is teaching? The world is teaching when you have a craving, when you have a desire, then you fulfill it, and that's going to give you life. When Jesus is saying, and Paul says, Scripture says, that actually leads you to death. So ask yourself honestly, are there physical cravings in your life that are getting more attention than they ought? Are you living a life where wherever you have a desire, you say, yeah, bring it on? The promise of this temptation is that when we live this life of self-denial, that helps us order our lives around something greater than our cravings. And this is what Jesus is saying. Bread is not going to give you what I can give you. All right, let's look at temptation number two. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Devil's not done with him. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. I will give you all their authority and splendor. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answers, again, quoting from Scripture, Deuteronomy, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I think this is kind of the shortcut. I would call it the shortcut temptation. I want to get to the destination without the pain of the journey. All right? The world trains us that we want things now. We don't want to go through that process. And so many times in reaching for the shortcut, what we actually do is we compromise our integrity and we rob ourselves of the formation that takes place as we go from point A to point B. I want it now and I'm going to do anything and I'm willing to sacrifice my integrity in order to achieve that. I see this in our world. As you know, I'm a sports fan, and I'm kind of worried about how much gambling has worked its way into just about every event. You can gamble not just on the outcome of the game, but who's going to score first, who's going to score when. And it seems as if part of this is the temptation. I want to make money as fast as I possibly can. And so I'm going to risk my integrity. I'm going to risk even financial security, because here's a way that I can make money really, really fast. And in so many cases, what happens is that people realize that in giving themselves to this temptation, they actually find themselves in debt. They find themselves at a loss. Instead of the life that they thought they were going to have, life is just sucked out of them. Or we go in debt for the house or the car. We see that and we say, man, that is going to give me life. And I can get there, and I can stretch myself, and I can take out that loan, and I'm going to be making more in 5 or 10 years, and I'm going to be controlled by that shortcut, and so I'm going to get as much as I can, as fast as I can. And so many times there are people that find themselves in debt and lose financial freedom. I mean, they can't help anyone else. They can't bless other people because they're so tied up in the debt that they have accumulated because they want to take that shortcut. I don't want to wait 5 years. I don't want to wait 10 years. And even financial experts may be encouraging you, hey, in 10 years, the house is going to be 20, 30% more. Oh, yeah, I better buy it now. But you see, if we give in that temptation, that shortcut, we sacrifice something, and oftentimes it's to our destruction. We want power, and so we plagiarize. I want a great sermon, so instead of working on a sermon, I'm just going to preach someone else's sermon. You know, we want people to... We want to impress people, so I'm going to take someone else's idea and I'm going to present it to the authorities as my own idea, and then everyone's going to think I'm brilliant. That always backfires, doesn't it? So we deceive, we manipulate people. We want results, and we take shortcuts that undermine the integrity of everything that we are building. Jesus says, I'm not going to do that. Think back to those athletes. You know, the sad stories that come out of Olympic events is those times when it's discovered that an athlete took a shortcut, used a performance-enhancing drug, and when that happens, that medal is taken away. All of that honor, it just goes up in smoke because they took that shortcut. There are many baseball players that are not in the Baseball Hall of Fame because they have taken shortcuts. We don't admire people, do we? We don't honor people who take shortcuts. We criticize them. We call them cheaters. They lose their integrity. The journey produces something that the shortcut never can: character and integrity, a life aligned with God's purposes rather than with our own impatience. So are there shortcuts that you're taking in your life? Maybe in your professional career, in different areas in your life, that you're willing to give away your financial freedom, that you're willing to give away your integrity because you want it right now. The promise of this temptation is that this life of self-denial, of working through the process, gives us a life of genuine integrity that people will admire, that people will respect, that is aligned with God's purposes. Temptation number 3. Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. He will command his angels concerning you. Satan's now quoting scripture himself. He will command his angels concerning you. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, this one is a little bit more subtle, isn't it? The devil is saying to Jesus, let's force God's hand. Let's make God prove himself. Let's put God on a timetable. And we do this, or I do this. And like I often say, if I do it, you're probably doing it too. If we do this, we manipulate God, we bargain with God, we demand certainty from God. We need God to perform before we will trust him. And when we live that way, we live in this constant anxiety and distrust. So we need to deny that need for control. Surrender the demand for certainty and let go of that need of God to prove himself on our schedule. God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to just follow if you do this in this order. You know, every one of us, you know, when we're adulting, we have this idea of what God's going to do in our life, and we have this timetable of when this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And God, if you're a real God who loves me, then here's my agenda, here's my schedule, here's my life. Get to work. You know, that's what we do to God, right? And this is what Satan is saying. Let's make God perform on demand. You know, do whatever we want to do. Agree with us on how everything should be. But that just makes us anxious, and it really doesn't build trust in our lives. We don't find peace. But we will find peace if we just live in trust that God's going to take care of things. And I don't have to put him on a timetable. I don't have to manipulate or control him. And we just know, God, I trust you. I know that you love me. I know that you're going to take care of things. And so whatever happens, I just find this peace knowing that you are in control. So the promise of this temptation, of this temptation is it gives us a relationship with God built on genuine trust rather than transaction. God, you're a good God if you do X, Y, and Z. No, God, you are a good God. And I trust you. All right, so here's what self-denial is actually offering us. Instead of feeding every physical desire, we feed our spirits. Right? We recognize that there's something that's even more fulfilling in life than all of those fleshly cravings that we have. That's what Jesus is offering us. He's offering us something better than bread. He's offering something better than those things that we think are just going to make us so happy and give us life. He's offering us this true relationship with God. Instead of taking shortcuts, we build a life of character and integrity. It's not that he doesn't want us to get here, necessarily, but he says, I want you to get there and with integrity. I want you to build character along the way. So it's not that I'm saying you can't have life. I want you to have a life that you can be proud of. A life that will honor me, a life that will be an example to other people, a life that will give glory to me. And instead of holding God to our timeline, we just live in trust, knowing that God's going to work out everything in his perfect. I see what Jesus is saying. I want you to have that liberation of just knowing that God is going to take care of you and to live like a child lives with their parents that are taking care of them, just knowing that you're all right. You're in charge. You're going to take care of me. Denying ourselves does not mean less life. It opens the door to even greater blessing. It's not the pathway from life. It is the pathway into life. For some reason, athletes can get this, right? Athletes can understand that. If I want that crown of life, if I want that reward, it means I've got to say no to some things. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us. If you really want life, then you've got to deny that flesh, take up your cross, and follow me. And then Jesus showed us what it looked like at the highest possible level. Why? What hope do we have for life? It's because Jesus gave his life. And as we work our way into Good Friday and Easter Sunday, I mean, this is what we celebrate. That eternal life has been secured for humanity through the sacrificial love, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't think I can even start to imagine how much impact and power my life can have when I'm willing to give it away. Jesus teaches us that in the cross. It's the power of the cross. It's the power of living a cross-centered life. Let me pray for us one more time, and then Basil will lead us in a song. Father, this is, we talked about a lot today. We've gone with Jesus into the wilderness. We've looked at his battle with Satan. Father, let's just let's just put it out there that we are so often consumed with pleasing our flesh as soon as possible and as often as possible. And we just confess that. Father, help us to repent of that. Help us to turn away from that force. Father, help us to know that that is not the pathway to life. That's just the pathway to destruction. So, Father, help us to honestly look at our lives. What are some things that are, what are some of those fleshly desires that are controlling me? That I've been living under the deception that they're going to give me life. Father, help us create seasons where we live and want and in need so that we can find our true desire in you. Father, for those that are living through seasons of wilderness, I just pray that you would use these times in very special, very powerful ways that they each can find true joy, true life in a relationship with you. And Father, looking back on our lives, we thank you for those times, whether you've orchestrated them or they've just come about us through the evil of this world. Father, we actually give you thanks for times when we had nothing to rely on but you, because we knew in those times that you would take care of us, that you would give us the bread that we really needed. So Father, help us not to put confidence in the flesh, help us not to be driven by the flesh, but to be driven by the Spirit. Father, forgive us. There are times when we want things and we have the power to have those, and so we take shortcuts, we cheat, we steal, we're irresponsible with our money, we're irresponsible with our talents, we take credit for things that we haven't done. Father, we so desire recognition and power that sometimes we compromise who we are. And Father, help us to confess those times. Father, that help us to know that that's not forming us. We're cheating ourselves. Cheating ourselves. Compromising our integrity. Father, help us to know that the journey forms us and the journey is worth it. Father, there are so many times that we delight in you only when you give us what we want, when we want it. And man, we praise you. Man, God, thank you. You're awesome. You're beautiful. You gave me that, what I prayed for. In the exact moment that I prayed for it. And Father, sometimes you do that. We delight. We don't want to deny that you do those things at times. But Father, help us not to hold you to this rigid schedule, this rigid impression that we have of who you are and what you should do and when you should do it, and Father, then just live our life in frustration and doubt and anger and depression because, God, where were you? Just Father, help us to resist the urge to manipulate you and just to say, God, I trust you. I trust you. You've proven yourself already. You don't have to prove yourself over and over and over again. I just trust you. So, Father, help us to find that freedom. Just living a life of peace, knowing that you're our loving Father. Father, thank you so much that Jesus not only spoke these words, but he lived them. He came to give himself away. He took the path to the cross. He could have anything that this world could provide, but he didn't seek that. He sought to bring life. Demonstrated that in the cross. And Father, without the cross, we would have no hope. We would all just be destined to destruction, everlasting death. But Father, through the cross, we have life. Father, help us to know that that's not just an event that we celebrate in the life of Jesus, but it's an example for us. That we bring life to our relationships, that we bring life to our families, we bring life to our workplaces, we bring life to our schools, we bring life to our neighborhoods, we bring life to our communities, we bring life to this world when we take up our cross and follow you. A life of self-sacrifice, of taking up your cross daily, is the most powerful way to live. Father, help us to believe that and help us to know that you reward that with true, everlasting, powerful life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.
Oh, to see the dawn.